prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to Hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Charles filed today in the Kansas City shooting at the Chiefs rally this week that killed one person and injured 22 others.
Two juveniles, as Jackson County, Missouri Family Court is describing them without giving their ages, have now been charged and are detained at the Juvenile Detention Center in Kansas City on gun-related and resisting arrest charges. The court saying more charges are expected. Because they are minors, nothing involving them will be open to the public. The exact charges and names are not being released. Police say it was a fight that led to the shooting. A third suspect was released, no longer believed to have been involved. Alex Stone, ABC News.
A judge in New York City could issue a decision today on whether former President Trump will have to pay damages in the civil fraud trial involving his businesses. Reaction today over the reported death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. He died while at a Russian prison. Russia says Navalny collapsed while out on a walk on prison grounds. The U.S. blames Vladimir Putin. This is ABC News. A mystery fossil turns out to be fake.
In 1931, it seemed to be a remarkable find. A 280-million-year-old fossil of a lizard, Tridentinosaurus antiquus, found in the Italian Alps. Scientists for decades puzzled at its well-preserved tissue on its limbs and tail. Now UV imaging giving them the answer. It's not skin, it's paint. But it's not a complete forgery. There was an actual fossil underneath, and the team did find the real remains of small amounts of bony scales from the lizard's back. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Brian Wilson is back in a conservatorship. The family said on an Instagram post that two people will share the role. The family also saying that they made the decision with Brian following the death of his wife, Melinda. She died earlier this month. The Beach Boys co-founder is reportedly suffering from a neurocognitive disorder. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la. It's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Medical marijuana is not happening in the current session of the Wisconsin legislature.
Speaker Robin Voss thinks the bill could still pass in the assembly.
I've not had anybody come to me who was a supporter and say they have changed their position. But when we see that the Senate wants to have a more liberal version than one that we're willing to pass, it probably doesn't leave us enough time with the waning days of the session to get an answer that both chambers can adopt.
Senate Republicans opposed the assembly bill's establishment of state-run marijuana dispensaries. And some Republican senators opposed legalizing marijuana in any form. at the Capitol. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A fatal Tuesday night crash in Fond du Lac has now been classified as a homicide after police located a vehicle that struck landscaping blocks and came to rest on a cluster of bushes. They found a woman later identified as 33-year-old Ashley Kahlo of West Bend unresponsive inside the vehicle. Kahlo later died at a hospital. A 3-year-old child who was also in the vehicle was uninjured. Wednesday, a 20-year-old Fond du Lac woman was taken into custody in West Bend after police issued a temporary felony warrant for her arrest. The woman was arrested for first-degree reckless homicide and is being held at the Fond du Lac County Jail. A 21-year-old Fond du Lac man was also arrested for harboring or aiding a felon. An effort to reduce drunk driving in Wisconsin. State Senator Chris Larson is proposing a requirement for all drivers convicted of OWI to get alcohol-detecting ignition interlock devices installed in their vehicles. It's currently required only in some circumstances. It's the seventh time the Milwaukee Democrat has introduced legislation to do that. Larson's bill would include those convicted of first offense OWI, which remains a misdemeanor in Wisconsin. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
You wouldn't let a little cold weather or snow interrupt your outdoor cooking experience. No, of course not. You're the master of the pit. No wind or snow or ice is slowing you down. So that's why we at Grandpa's Barbecue salute you. The rich, original flavor of barbecue the way it was meant to be. But you should also know that it works great in a crock pot, too. Shh, you didn't hear that from us. Grandpa's Barbecue, available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Mostly sunny and a bit cooler today. We'll get to around 20 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 12 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy with some blowing snow, especially out in the rural areas. 31 tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, high of 37. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 14.
Soybeans and bean meal found a way to force enough short covering to get a higher close to end the week. But corn, wheat, and even cotton were on the defensive to wrap things up today. Lean hog futures capped off a strong week with slight gains, while live cattle futures used a two-day rally to climb to the top side of last week's close.
Live from the final lap of the week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll begin with a conversation with Dan Bossi from Ag Resource Company. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, what a week it has been. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big mm-hmm. Apple Joe and I made the trip down to Louisville in the National Farm Machinery Show. Mm-hmm. Hope you guys enjoyed our coverage from that. It was really cool. Really cool to see the new line of equipment that is coming on board. Mm-hmm. Thanks again to the folks at Great Plains for sponsoring the show, and to Case IH for sponsoring the show. Dude, I'm telling you, we mentioned the behemoth combine mm-hmm. that we were mm-hmm. sitting in front of a couple of times. It is. I mean, it's a different scale mm-hmm. than what I'm used to seeing.
Sure.
And when mm-hmm. I was talking with Leo Bowes yesterday, I said, you know, this looks almost like something that you built because you can. You know, and but then we got into the conversation about, no, we're doing this because that is the most productive machine that we can put out there in the field right now. It does what farmers have asked them to make a combine do.
Yeah.
And the demands that producers are putting on the equipment now, it was on display across the National Farm Machinery Show. So if you're listening from down there or making your way home right now, hey, shout out, be safe, and we'll see you again next year down there. So
any chance when you were in such close proximity to that Case IH behemoth, is there any chance at all at one point there were children climbing on it and somebody walked by and said, get off my case? Did that ever happen?
If someone would have been climbing on it, it would mm-hmm. have.
Okay.
It would have.
I can live in that world.
I think they're a little protective of the one that they've got right now.
I would imagine so. You want to protect that.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So defensive end of the week in corn. Yeah. That market was kind of defensive all week. So was wheat. Soybean futures came back and tried to. Well, they did. They did close higher today. Erase some of the losses from earlier this week. But if we're looking for the strong price performance, we got to get over to livestock and the cotton market on the week as well. So let's get to the details. What do you got, buddy?
Well, Chip, the grind lower in wheat futures accelerated into a sell-off the second half of this week. Yeah. March SRW wheat futures opened a slightly lower and tried to rally this morning, but fell to close low range. Front month SRW futures tested support at the November 27 low, and that support held for now. But downside momentum is building in wheat futures, Chip. March hard red winter wheat closed to lower each day this week and scored back-to-back-to-back new contract lows to finish the week. Today's high range open and low range close will keep bears in charge. Front month spring wheat futures also traded to new contract lows several times this week. Funds are ready on the short side, are already on the short side of the wheat markets. And traders say there's little incentive to cover profitable positions at this time. March HRW wheat futures 8.5 cents lower, 5.67 1/4. March SRW wheat down 6.5 cents, 5.60 1/2. March spring wheat closed at 6.54 3/4, down 3 1/4 cents. Chip, here in KC, the talk has been three-peat. Yeah. But back to back to back new contract lows in the wheat market doesn't help anybody.
No, that's a different kind of winning, isn't
different
it?
Different deal. Yeah, great.
Yeah, absolutely. On the week, March SRW wheat futures down 36.25 cents. March HRW down 34.25, and March spring wheat futures down 29.5 cents.
Chip, March corn futures also traded to new contract lows in the second half of the week. Wednesday's and Thursday's low range closes turned into an attempt at an upside correction early in today's session. Front month corn tried to climb back on top of the pivotal 420 level, but the rally was rejected and corn closed at just below the opening range. There are hints that funds are growing tired of the short side of the corn market, but they have more incentive to stay short than to begin to exit those profitable positions. There's minimal concern about the Argentine and Brazilian corn crops in current corn prices, and traders say it will likely stay that way until South America's corn crop issues turn into more export demand for U.S. corn. Mm-hmm. March corn futures were 1.25 cents lower, 4.16 1/2. May corn down 0.25 cents to 4.29 1/2. July corn futures closed at 4.40 1/4, up 0.5 cent today.
We will talk with Dan Bossi here in just a little bit about what's going on down in South America. March corn on the week down 12.5 cents. July corn down 10.5 cents.
March soybean futures posted a double-digit upside correction and still posted an inside trading day with a low range open and a high range close. Chart watchers say that points to more consolidation in the prices in the week ahead. March bean meal also recovered most of this week's price losses, but sellers stayed in control of the soybean oil market, with futures closing near the low of the week. Harvest is progressing in Brazil, with yields, quote-unquote, worse than expected in many fields. Mm-hmm. That was incentive for pro farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier to cut 2 million metric tons from his Brazilian bean crop estimate earlier this week. March beans were a dime higher today at 11.72 1/4. May beans up 10 1/4, 11.76 1/4. July beans closed at 11.84 3/4. That's up 9.5 today, Chip.
All right. March soybeans on the week down 11.25 cents. July beans down 15 cents. March bean oil down 167 points. And March soybean meal down $1.20. Now, let's take a quick look at the new crop contracts. December corn closed today at 4.58 3/4. November soybeans, 11.48 1/2. Hmm. That gives us a stocks to, not a stocks to use, a bean to corn price ratio of 2.50 to 1.
Well, March cotton futures came within 10 points of resistance at 96 cents today. The contract posted an outside trading day with the close below the opening range. The market is primed for profit taking, but it is riding the wave of buying in the soft commodities. March cotton, 76 points lower today, 93.87. We talked about cocoa this morning, didn't we, Chip?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. 76 points lower in the March contract this morning, but on the week, up 209 points.
Heck yeah.
Just a really solid week for cotton again, and the old crop.
April live cattle futures posted the highest close since November 3. but stopped short of a test of resistance at that day's high. That's at 189.02.5. The two-day rally at the end of this week in cattle futures got prices higher on the week and in position to push higher again next week. April live cattle, $1.95, higher 187.55. June futures jumped 95 cents to 182.82.5. The March feeder futures, 392.5, higher 251.02.5. And Chip, that's the first close above $2 or 250 in March feeders since October 16. And after a big rally on Wednesday, April lean hog futures were in position to test resistance at the January 30 high of 85.92.5. But yesterday's and today's rallies stopped just short of that price point. April hogs 22.5 higher today, 85.22.5. June up a nickel, 97.75. Chip.
Yeah, there's no doubt the April contract is knocking on the door of resistance. There's little doubt about that. On the week, April live cattle futures up 82.5 cents. March feeder cattle up $3.87.5. And the big gainer in the livestock this week, April lean hogs up $4.07.5. Okay, we've got Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company, standing by and ready to go. He's next here on AgriTalk.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers. Progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
All right, here we are, end of the week. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Dan Bossi is with Ag Resource Company in Chicago. Offices around the world. But we're going to talk about what's happening in the U.S., what's happening in South America, and we'll probably will talk about what's happening in the Black Sea region. Let's bring him in right now. Dan, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm very, very well on a Friday and a three-day weekend, Chip, so hope that's the same with you.
Yes, absolutely. Things are going well. Another three-day weekend. We bunch them up at the start of the year, don't we?
We really do. It just seems like we had one in January. Here we are again. But, you know, President's Day it is, and getting closer and closer to the start of planning, and the excitement builds.
Yeah. You know, 2 years ago, the President's Day weekend was, we had the rumors flying around about Putin potentially making a move on Ukraine, and there it was. It happened. And then a year ago right now, we were wondering just how bad that Argentine corn and soybean crop was going to be. There's some uncertainty about South America still in play this year, Dan, but it's nothing like we had a year ago, is it?
No, it really isn't. So again, as I look at that Brazilian crop, and, you know, we have finished the crop tour about 10 days. We came out at 145.4. So, you know, we're on the lower end of things. We're still collecting data from our clients down there, our farm clients, and I'm still believing there's some downside to that number. But USDA has been very slow to move. Now, historically, USDA tends to make their leaps in March, and so we'll look at the number at that point. But again, if you're looking at the trade today, there's crop estimates, APRASOCHA, which is the farm union down in Brazil, a soybean association. They're at 135. USDA's at 156. It's a big divide yet, trying to get our arms around how big or small this Brazilian crop is.
Yeah, 135 makes a difference. Well, 145.4 compared to a 156, that makes a difference to the outlook, doesn't it, Dan?
It really does. What it does is it gives us an export opportunity, because if you look at the premiums in Brazil in the last week or so, they've been screaming. I mean, we've now got premiums that, you know, at the end of January, they're 9,500. They were going home 6,500 nearby, and as I look at June and July, we're about 10 under. So the market's telling you that maybe the crop's not as big as you would like, especially when you know, when you look at June and July, that number a year ago was like about 80 cents under. Now we're 10 under. It tells you that there's a lot of demand in that position. So I don't know. As harvest is somewhere around 30% done today, I still think there's room to the downside. And as I said, if there's 11 million metric tons, that's 400 million bushels. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it certainly is. Harvest, 30% done. As I understand it, yields have been underwhelming to this point, correct?
Very much so, especially across the north in Goiás and Mato Grosso. Now we're getting data from Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, also underwhelming, if you can use that word. Again, producers were hoping for something in the range of, we'll call it 52 to 53 bushels per acre. I always bring it back rather than talking about sacks or bags, because U.S. farmers don't understand that, but it's coming in somewhere between 46 and 48. And so there is some reduction. Like I said, I'm hard to get track of.
You're breaking up on us, Dan. It's hard to keep track of what?
I'm sorry about that. I still think a crop of 142 to 144 is possible. And that would be enough to say that 1150 holds us on soybeans here and may rally us back, something like 12 and a half, or maybe closer to that gap that we left in early the year of 13. But let's see how it all plays out.
Okay. All right. I got to stay on this just a little bit, because I want to understand something a little better than what I do right now. So the yields that are coming out of the field right now, are they worse than what the producers expected?
They're going to be at a percentage of somewhere between 15 and 30% below last year, and probably 5 to 15% less than producers were hoping for.
Okay.
With the biggest losses being in Mato Grosso in the north, where, you know, I think everybody needs to remember they plant a 99 or 95 day soybean up there so they can get back in with Safrinha. And those short day soybeans, they got to be treated right every day. And they just weren't treated right from October, November into the first half of December.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different animal than what we grow up here, and it's closer to corn in some ways than it is soybeans. So if these yields are disappointing producers, and the producers were already the low ball number in the market, at what did you say it was, 135?
135 is upper social. April producers to stop selling soybeans because of their bullishness relative to the crop. I say that because it's not a number there. So again, it's hard to be bullish in a market that just keeps continually going down. And that's been the case since our harvest, looking backwards. But maybe as we think forward, if you get a smaller Brazilian crop and then maybe we get in the spring, there's chances here to get some seeds in the market and at least have a bounce along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. There's more uncertainty about the South American supply now than what I thought I had in my head at the start of the conversation, Dan. You've opened up some downside concerns for me on this thing. What about corn? Which direction is the Safrina corn acres going, Dan? On one hand, I see some that are thinking there's going to be more than what producers were planning earlier, and some are saying that Safrina acres are going to be less. Which is it?
Well, I would tell you that the bid today for Safrina corn delivery, which is going to be in the month of July, just called in, and it's $2.62 this afternoon. This would be in Mato Grosso and the area surrounding that important state. Farmers, as we have them down there, have a break even around $3.20 to $3.10. As I look at it, many of our farm clients are not going forward and putting in the inputs they would like. A few are putting seed in the ground, but we kind of think for today a number of a 118 or 119 million metric tons is a good number to be in the total Brazilian crop, with that Safrina crop probably down at around 89 or 90. So, you know, as you think about it, as we think about it anyway, I believe anyway that the USDA has got to come down, but most importantly will be the weather during the month of April, where the forecast suggesting the monsoon could be a little erratic.
Okay. The forecast for April, or the weather in April, is most concerning, and the monsoon could be a little erratic there. And so not a real clear picture on it at this point. Dan, based on what you know about South American soybeans, and include them all the producing countries, based on what you know about South American soybeans, South American corn, does it turn into any additional export demand for either U.S. corn or soybeans?
On the Safrina side of corn, we'll know the lurking monster in the background. What is the Brazilian crop? In Argentina, they will be an exporter. They're already competitive with the United States. And on soybeans, I would point out this to the listeners. If I'm using my 135 Brazilian soybean crop, an Argentina crop of 50, I end up seeing about, with Paraguay included, about 3 million.
Yeah, Dan, we're losing you here.
Overwhelming.
You know what? We're going to go ahead and let that signal recover here just a little bit. I got enough of that I'm going to put a little bit of a summary on it here. I'm going to let you work with Joe, see if we can get a little bit better signal going for the next segment. But the 145 and 50, 145 Brazilian crop, bean crop, and a 55 Argentinian bean crop. What I want to know when we come back is, does that turn into any additional demand for U.S. soybeans? Davis, it's like we've said more than once, we can have a drought in Brazil. We can have a drought in Argentina. Does it? But the question then becomes, did the drought really happen if it doesn't turn into any additional demand for U.S. corn or soybeans? So that's where we need to get to in this market. We need to find that demand that number one gets the funds to at least quit selling in corn and soybeans. It had a little bit of a bounce today in the bean market, no question about that. But giving a bounce some legs, I don't know if a supply side scare does that. It's going to take demand. We're going to continue the conversation with Dan Bossi next.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For March, hard red winter wheat futures were 8.5 cents lower at 567 and a quarter. March SRW wheat down 6.5 cents to 560.5. March corn futures 1.25 cents lower, 416.5. May corn down 0.25 cents, 429.5. March soybean futures 1 dime higher, 11.72 1/4. May beans up 10 1/4 to 11.76 1/4. March cotton futures 76 points lower today, 93.87. On your livestock's April fat cattle, $1.95 higher today, 187.55. March feeders $3.92 1/2 higher at 251.02 1/2. And April lean hog futures 22.5 cents higher at 85.22 1/2. Get more market news every market day. Try ProFarmer.com.
Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Soil health is one of the most important parts of your farm. Without good soil health, crop yields are affected, and so is your bottom line. Bluff Country Feed and Seed can help improve your soil health with products from Midwestern BioAg. With dry and liquid biologic fertilizers that help the soil hold nutrients for your crop, to soil and plant testing to find out how much and what type of fertilizer you need. Bluff Country Feed and Seed will improve your farm's profitability through improved soil health. Start improving your farm's soil health today. Call or visit Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi or visit them online at bluffcountryfs.com.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Mostly sunny and a bit cooler today. We'll get to around 20 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 12 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy with some blowing snow, especially out in the rural areas. 31 tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, high of 37. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help, 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 14.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Pledge. You're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. Dan, during the break, I got an interesting question. I don't know if there's any way that you can that we can, you know, prove an answer on to this question, but I think it is worth talking about, and I like where Teddy's coming from on this. The question is, if USDA was at 145 to 150 instead of 156, where do you think March soybean futures would be trading at today?
So we can model out what we call G3 stocks-to-use ratios, which is Argentina, Brazil, and the United States on a monthly or quarterly basis, and come up with a price that would fit that question. Just looking at research that we did last week, it would indicate to me that March soybeans would be closer to $12.25 than $11.50. So, you know, it would add 75 cents at a minimum to the upside, potentially a dollar if you got the market turned around and we got some shortcoming from the fund community.
Boy, that would feel a whole lot different than 11.50 does.
Well, yeah, but it you know, again, it's the world, if you will, as I think we're going into break. I wanted to bring up that if I use an Argentinian soybean crop of 50 and a Brazilian of 55 and the Paraguayan crop, I mean, only like 4 million tons above last year. Last year we had soybean prices, you know, at some points with 13 and 14. So, you know, I really don't want to get bullish here, but I don't want to be bearish below 1150. I don't know how else to say it, Chip. The South American crop sizes are very important.
Yeah. I hear you. And the question that I've been asking is, what does it take to get the funds to stop selling? Maybe the funds stop selling in soybeans today. We don't know. But is a supply side concern enough to get the funds selling, or does it have to be a demand issue?
I think it's a combination of getting the South American crop sizes coming down and then getting the realization that we are heading into a new growing season and the risks that come with a new growing season. And I'm not talking the Northern Hemisphere. And that may be enough to get some of these guys to change. But, you know, as I work with a lot of these hedge funds, and they're now using AI more than ever, they just keep selling until the market pushes back. And I think we need the market to push back for a week or two before they say, you know what, maybe it's the wrong time to be in the pond.
Yeah. It just gets harder for the market to push back. And it's interesting. It's just a different dynamic with AI and everything that we're trying to figure out exactly what it means for these markets. We always talk about the pendulum swinging. Well, pendulum swings were determined by human emotion. So are the swings going to be less or more when you take the emotion out? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either, but I'll tell you I think the first AI move was a macro one. In other words, if you look at the U.S. stock market where it almost goes up, we're now sitting at a record high. And then you look at commodities, which, you know, we've been slumping for a long time. The macro play has been one of, well, don't fight the Fed, be long of equities, be short of stuff. And that's kind of panned out here. So, you know, what we need to do is we need to see the Fed start to lower interest rates. We need to see the dollar start to decline. And then some of these macro guys will start to change their tune a little bit. But like I said, I don't think we're there yet. I think it's probably something for the second quarter, not the first quarter.
Okay. All right. With that in mind, let's talk about some domestic fundamentals in here. We got the NOPA crush numbers yesterday. They weren't as good as what the trade was expecting because of some really tough weather that we had in January. But it was still a record number. It still looks really good. The trends are going the right way on crush, aren't they?
No, they are. We're crushing a lot of beans, record numbers, and I think that number will continue to grow as we head into the end of the year. We have a U.S. crush rate being 40 million bushels above the USDA based on the analysis of trend where we're at. So that makes sense. And I do believe as you get into the drawdown period for soybean oil, we will need the oil that comes forward, especially with the California Rodeo plant coming back online sometime in late March or April. So, you know, these things are good for the market. Where we really need to get something going would be export demand, and that's probably not going to happen until late summer, fall, and that's the question of the South American crop. But those are the kind of things we need to come together.
Yeah. Tell me more about that plant, the plant out in California, the Rodeo. What was it?
Oh, Rodeo. It's the Phillips 66 Rodeo, California plant. It's a monster. It just, we're talking 2.5 million gallons of renewable diesel potential a day. Three lines. It's the biggest facility in renewable diesel in the United States. Their planned opening right now. They've given us a window from late March to late April. I would imagine somewhere in the next few weeks they'll start accumulating feedstocks. And so those kind of things are pretty important when you think about the capacity and amount of vegetable oils that could be utilized. We're not there today, but I think as you turn the calendar from February to March, we'll start talking more and more about that plan and getting it online.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. The USDA had the annual Ag Outlook Forum this week. Dan, we saw the balance sheets come from Seth. We talked about it a little bit this morning. We'll talk about it a little bit more right now. Was there anything in corn, soybeans, wheat, cattle, hogs, cotton, anything that caught your attention?
Well, I mean, the cattle numbers were quite bullish. The grain numbers were quite bearish, unfortunately. I think if I combine the three grains, the corn, wheat, and beans, it was about 860 million bushels more than last year in their outlook meeting. So, you know, that's somewhat of a problem. And again, it's growing South American demand and less trade, which kind of is buggering the market, if you will. And so, we came out of that report, and again, the market sold off accordingly. And we, you know, unless there's a weather problem, it's difficult to get overly bullish unless South America or the United States has an issue with Mother Nature. So kind of where we are today. It's a bear market with probably near a bottom, but hard to get bullish until I can see a supply dislocation.
Right. Okay. 91 million acres planted to corn. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, we were at 91 based on a December survey we did of clients. We were at 87 on soybeans.
Okay.
So those numbers are right in our wheelhouse. I'm telling you, we're going to do another survey in March. Initially, I'm getting some indications that maybe that corn number could be a little larger by a half or 1 million acres. I always say that because farmers are telling us the fall was so good. When they did fertilizer applications, they didn't stop or slow down, and that may pull a few more acres of corn when we do our survey for March.
Yep, yep. The carryover numbers, which of course turn into beginning stocks for the next marketing year on corn and soybeans, based on these tables that we got from USDA, Dan, they're starting to feel like snowballs, and that the supply side is snowballing on us. Do you get that concern?
Yeah, I do get that concern, and there's you know, unless it's Mother Nature, I don't have a lever to keep that avalanche from coming at us. That's the problem. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, if we don't have weather problems, we end up with growing stocks, and I need a new demand driver. And we thought it was going to be renewable diesel to some degree, but if you're going to have a soy oil market at 45 cents, it is not renewable diesel. And somehow it's the demand for soy oil that's probably the only demand driver, at least at the moment, that I see out there.
Why haven't we seen more of a reaction in the bean oil market?
I believe it's tied to all of the, what I call palm oil that's coming into the west coast of California with a French fry and a hot dog in it. I use that deliberately, if you will, but there's lots of evidence that we're seeing virgin palm oil coming into the west coast with, let's say, stuff within the cargoes, which is being passed off at used cooking oil. I think there needs to be a feedstock policeman looking at that, because if indeed we allow China or Southeast Asia to dump that vegetable oil on our shelf, it's not, renewable diesel will not be the demand driver that U.S. farmers were hoping for. So I've been telling Washington and the California Air Quality Board, this is something you need to look at. They are having a board meeting on the 21st of March. We'll see how that comes forward. But one of the recommendations from staff is they want origination now on used cooking oil and some of the other ingredients so that they can determine whether or not, you know, there's deforestation in Malaysia or in Indonesia, and it's hurting the environment more than helping it.
Dan, isn't there specific legislation that says we can't use the virgin palm oil for a seed stock?
Oh, it is. You're right. But again, there's no, as I call it, feedstock policeman.
Right.
And we need to have verification of this stuff. And so there is rulings on that. And again, it's disruptive. And I think that's why the Air Quality Board of California is looking at figuring at least staff recommendations, getting where the origins come from, and then doing some testing so that we know these cargoes are not being spiced, if you will, with foreign matter so that they appear like they're used cooking oil. You know, the price of palm oil today is trading above the price of soybean oil. This doesn't happen very often, but it's kind of telling you what's going on in terms of Southeast Asia trying to get in the carbon credit business.
Yeah. Yeah, those carbon credits and the tax benefits are not in place to support Malaysian palm oil. That is for sure. It is in place to support feedstocks coming from the U.S. Wow, man. Great conversation. I wish we had time for more, but let's do it again soon. Have a great weekend and have a great extended weekend.
Thank you, and same to you and your listeners, and we'll be back again. But lots going on in agriculture yet, Chip.
There is. We need to get you back on and round things up here again very soon. Dan Bossy, Ag Resource Company. All right, Davis and I will be back to wrap things up here in a moment.
Timmy, everybody, great job. Next up, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high temperature performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through March 4th, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge or Edge High Mileage Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $36.99, only at AutoZone.
Claim based on Sequence 3 H test versus API SP test limits.
Navage provides quick, drug-free nasal relief this time of year when everyone is sick. Navage helps by sucking out germs, bacteria, and viruses trapped in our noses that cause us to feel miserable. And come allergy season, it does the same with dust, pollen, and other allergens. And unlike medications that can take time to help, Navage helps treat congestion symptoms in seconds flat. Ask for Navage at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, Target, or find us online at Navage.com. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
It's a mystery where Old Spice finds its amazing scents like Himalayan sea salt, but I'm thrilled they have because no other body wash exfoliates and moisturizes 24/7 like Old Spice Gentleman's Himalayan Sea Salt Body Wash. Now, if only there was a mountain range separating the Indian subcontinent from the Tibetan Plateau where I could hide my Old Spice and keep my family from stealing it, my impossibly smooth skin will finally be safe.
Shop can't-miss deals on appliances this President's Day at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, save an extra $75 on every $750 you spend on all major appliances, like LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances. Shop in-store or online for more deals you can't beat. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 228. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And the Ad Council.
TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, is here to talk about why farmers are choosing to finance their land with FBN Finance. TJ, as farmers consider where to get their land financing, why should they consider FBN Finance?
Yeah, at FBN Finance, we're dedicated to family farmers. We've created an experience to provide farmers all the essential information they need during their land financing journey. We offer our free land evaluation tool, AcreVision, to access land insights and metrics, land loan calculator to view estimated rates and fees when you are ready to get pre-qualified, or you can use your online application to take advantage of instant approvals on qualified applications.
Okay, you just mentioned pre-qualification, instant approvals. Can you explain those and how they might benefit farmers?
Yeah, if you're starting your process, we offer pre-qualifications so you know your loan possibilities from the start. You can go into negotiations with more confidence and speed up the timeline when you are ready. We created an online application that will save you time and you can track your application's progress. Every minute counts, which is why we offer instant approvals where your land loan application could potentially be approved within minutes for land loans up to $2.5
million. Wow, okay. Are there any other benefits that we have not mentioned?
Everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. With over $1 billion in funds committed across over 1,700 farmers and counting, we make it easy and affordable for you to finance your operation with land purchases, refinances, or improvements. And right now we're offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off your closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form at fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND, that's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and mention AgriTalk.
Fantastic. Thank you, TJ. That is TJ Wilson, Director of Finance Sales at FBN, fbn.com/agritalk, or call 833-FBN-LEND, and be sure to mention AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McRae, host of the American Countryside. Also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be. So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Shout out to the good professor.
Yeah.
Little Rammstein for you. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Flory on your Friday afternoon. AgriTalk. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Yesterday, you were good enough to hand over to the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk to me.
Yes.
I mentioned in the fourth segment, I brought up some sad news, and I feel like I kind of want to revisit it because I have some more details that put me a little bit more at ease.
Oh.
I'm sure you heard, maybe you didn't, Chip, after the big hoopla downtown for the Chiefs Super Bowl party, and I'm not trying to, you know, what. I don't want to belabor the Chiefs and the victory and all that sort of stuff. After, as everyone was headed for the cars, there was a shooting. Over 20 people hurt. One person unfortunately succumbed to their injuries. I do have an update, and I feel like it's worth reading here. I'm just going to take a section here. This is from a chunk from, what is this from? From KCUR.com in Kansas City. Police believe the shooting occurred because of a dispute and not because of terrorism or extremism. The court says more charges may come as police continue their investigation. They've got two juveniles in custody, Chip. Yeah. It sounds like it was an argument, just a disagreement between a couple of juveniles that turned into showering the crowd of Chiefs fans with bullets. Terrible, awful, horrible. Continue to pray for these folks. I believe 9 of them are children who were injured. But
terrible.
Terrible, awful. If anything, you know, at least it wasn't some terrorism thing. So, you know, because there were a lot of questions around here about that. And then, you know, once you go down that road, then you wonder, well, where am I safe? You know?
Oh, so now you ask that question?
No.
A lot of well, people have been asking that question for a while now.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But in this situation, it, you know, people have almost been afraid to say it out loud. You know what I mean? It's all, it's just such a horrible, scary, random
this
thing.
This feels like there's more to this than a dispute. You know, just two kids mad at each other. It really does. There's, it feels like there's going to be news leaking on this event for a while.
Well, and like I talked about yesterday, again, I don't want to belabor. We'll get off this real quick, but my wife and I, you know, really discussed, well, what do you focus on then? Do you, you know, mourn the terrible thing that happened at the end? Do you let that eclipse, you know, the triumph of the city and everyone's having such a great time and millions, you know, not millions, hundreds of thousands, maybe a million flood the downtown. But we can't talk about that anymore because it's inappropriate to, you know, that's a tough thing. It's terrible. Awful.
It is. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I have for the latest on
for
that.
For the update there? Good.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Moving on. Dan Bossi, Ag Resource Company. Dude, I wrote this down. This is new to me. Palm oil into the West Coast? What are we doing?
Yeah.
But, you know, and this comes on the heels after our excitement at that ethanol to jet, except that ethanol is Brazilian.
Yeah.
So importing feedstocks. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, you've got to have a carbon intensity score low enough on the origin of the ethanol to make it qualify for feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel. Now, most, and we're going to get the determination when we get the final decision, the final decision on the GREET model and how that is going to be used in determining the tax credits available. But it's $1.75 on sustainable aviation fuel. $1.75 a gallon. So if those tax incentives are in place, what do you think? Do you think you look at the incentives that are in place on the West Coast on the renewable diesel? You don't think pirates would be willing to take a shot and try to get their hands on some of that? That's exactly what's going on. You can't use virgin palm oil, but you can use used cooking oil that is imported. Well, you know, there are people out there that, regardless of the need of cooking oils across Asia, that would take it and degrade it from food quality and make it so that it can get that tax incentive out of the West Coast market rather than trading in for food. There's something weird going on when palm oil is trading at a premium to soybean oil. And that has to be, quote unquote, artificial demand that is pushing palm oil from its traditional markets into a different market. And we might be seeing that happening. We're going to talk more about that with people that know a lot more about it than I do as time goes on. We're going to try to figure out exactly what is happening. But
yeah, man.
Doggone it.
Right?
If you want to know why this bean oil market has had a tough time getting going, it's because when you fill the market up with bad players, that's the kind of thing that can happen. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. February 22nd through the 26th, above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt. The highest odds for above normal temperatures, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Western Iowa. Below normal precipitation expected across most of the Western Corn Belt. You've got Eastern Iowa, Eastern Missouri, and areas to the east expecting near normal precipitation. Then the 8 to 14 day, February 24 to March 1, woo-hoo, we've got above normal temperatures across the Corn Belt. I mean, crazy. And above normal precipitation across the Corn Belt as well. Thank you so much for listening. Government offices and markets are closed on Monday. We're going to learn about the origins of Machinery Peak.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. Growing up in Oklahoma, I had big dreams of becoming a successful country music singer. But I also knew the odds were against me and that I needed an education to fall back on. Studying never got in the way of my dreams. In fact, school gave me lots of opportunities I wouldn't have had otherwise with my career. Please stay in school and try your best. You never know where a good education might take you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2600.
Hey, any big plans for today?
Yep, checking out Target's four-day sale.
Oh, for what?
For scoring 20% off.
For 20% off?
For everything you need for spring. 20% off tees, jeans, and shoes. Even select bedding, bath, storage, and more.
Wait, for real? For how long?
4 days. That's the name of the sale. Target's four-day sale.
Ah, the four-day sale. Count me in for sure.
Don't miss Target's four-day sale. Ends Monday. Restrictions apply. See Target.com.